Hello, so this is Christina again at Open Science Barcamp, and I'm here with Daniel Mietjen.
Hi, I'm Daniel Mietjen, biophysicist at the University of Virginia and active around open science and Wikimedia projects.
That sounded very enthusiastic. Daniel, you just hosted a very interesting session on valid reasons not to do open science. What made you propose that session?
Oh, I often hear when we're talking about making things more open, I often hear people say, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. And some of those reasons feel valid, while others less so. And I have never seen this, let's say, treated in a very systematic fashion. And also, certain funders basically provide opt-out ways of whatever sharing they require. And I've never seen data about the different reasons why people actually do not share. And so I thought it would be useful to actually try to address that in a systematic fashion. It also came up in an earlier session today, which was on the limits of open science, and where I basically, my thought about this was reinforced that it might be useful to have a session on the topic.
And you were certainly right, because there were actually a lot of people attending the session. And were you surprised about anything that came up? Was there anything new to you?
My first surprise was the number of people. Already like 20 or so raised their hand when we had the voting on the sessions. That was more than I had expected. Otherwise, surprises not in particular. I was more or less surprised that this session went rather well, even though we didn't have any structure to it. Nobody, including me, was prepared. So this means that we were able to dive into some of the things that people have thought about already and elicit some fresh thoughts.
I actually think that it went really well too, and was a very good example how the barcamp can work, right, without previous structure. Now both of us are looking at a very impressive and long list of valid reasons to opt out of open science that the participants of the session collaboratively wrote during the session. So which ones pop out for you as being most interesting, maybe?
That's hard to say, because I didn't really have a time to go through them individually. I had people comment on them one by one, but only on a certain subset. So most interesting is perhaps some of those things that always come up and are easy to address, like fear of secondary use of data for unintended purposes, or this is my data, I'll do with it what I want. On the other hand, I would say these are just reasons to opt out. Whether they are valid or not remains to be discussed, and we haven't gotten to that point yet. Another one I often hear is data privacy, which is something really important, and so it may actually be a valid reason in many contexts, but it is often used as a reason even when it's not valid. Some of the more interesting ones are actually comments on some of the things that others have put in here. So in line 63, they say, I prefer to share data upon request. And then someone has commented that's a preference, not a reason. Or 73, no one can make me do anything. And someone commented, funding agencies should be able to force you. Well, that's maybe not the kind of conversation I'd like to have, but this was a brainstorming. And so we can work with comments like this.
So let's come back to the question of validity. This is something that we could not address in detail, although the question was raised. What is a valid reason as opposed to just any reason? How would you think could we narrow this down to actual valid reasons, and who could do that?
This will probably depend a bit on the context. For instance, one of the reasons here given in line 66, lack of appropriate infrastructure to share petabytes of data. This is probably not a valid reason for most research, because it just has less than petabytes of data to share. Validity Has multiple aspects. So some of those points go into infrastructure or more or less technical aspects. Some of them go into the lack of training. Some of them go into legal ground, like data privacy and legal circumstances are, of course, different in different jurisdictions. Then there are certain other constraints, like time constraints, which are different for different kind of people. No, well, copywriters, there's disciplinary aspects. So validity will depend, but the point that I was trying to at least aim at was that there should be some logical argument that links the named or stated reasons for opting out with actual verifiable information. So one example that I gave is if you say that you don't share your data because you're concerned about the privacy of the patients that you did research with, then you could at least share the data sharing agreement that your patients had to sign in, and you could share a blank version of it so that people can verify what kind of data the patients were asked to share, and then they can basically make their own judgment as to whether that justifies not to share the data.
Going forward from this list, I could see this as a very great tool in open science advocacy. But what kinds of uses did you have in mind for the valid reasons to opt out of open science?
My well, probably a number of reasons. One is to just educate, because some of the points that came up here are just point to the need for further education around those issues. So first is to educate. Second is I'm very interested in building workflows and workflows that are web conscious and that are conscious of automation of identifiers that actually help in managing data. And for that, it is actually helpful if we can automate the process of providing access or well, prohibiting access to certain things. And we have, in order to automate that, we have to give machines reasonable, valid reasons. So we have to come up with some sort of schema that a machine can understand. And we have to map the individual reasons that a particular project or person might have not to share to this more generic set of reasons that the machine would understand. Yeah, so these are some of the reasons.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with this list. I'm also looking forward to the rest of the Open Science Barcamp. What are you looking forward to in the last session of the Barcamp? Have you decided where you go next?
Yes, my next one will be, oh, I just had it. Indicators of open science. So, how do you find out whether anyone is actually either doing open science or at least willing to do it?
Okay, I think this is going to be a great wrap-up that we're going to find out what open science actually is all about in the last session. Thank you very much, Daniel, and yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of the Barcamp.
Thank you.